If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-azam ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Going to talk about some of the Islamic laws about medical issues and conditions according to Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography and we'll be back. Don't go away.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Subhanallah.
Chesawit, since we are talking about some of the Islamic laws related to medical conditions and issues, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, let me ask you this question. Is it permissible to implant hair on the head of a person who suffered, for example, from burns, so much so that they're put under immense psychological pressure because of it?
Well, there's no harm in it. There's no harm in the implant, mm-hmm. in implanting hair on the head of a person.
Yes.
Provided that the implanted hair is taken from an animal whose meat is halal or a human hair is used, okay? And there's one thing more important to be noted, and that's the hair should not be used, implanted in such a way that, for example, they are glued to the individual's head and they look like fake hair, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Planting means that there are seeds and those seeds are planted inside the individual's head or skull or scalp, and then those hairs or strands of hair gradually begin to grow,
mm-hmm.
and that looks like natural hair. So as long as the hair of an impure animal is not used, and as long as the hair of a human being is used, there is no objection. There is no problem.
I see. My next question, or even more questions, are related to transplantation. We know it's a common area now in the field of science, medical science. Sheikh Javid, is it permissible to use the blood vessels of a dead person for, the transplantation in the body of another person who's still ill?
Grand Ayatollah Khamenei maintains that there's no objection to using the blood vessels of a dead person,
mm-hmm.
And if it is done with the permission of that individual in his lifetime, of course, it's absolutely permissible. And when it is done with the permission of the guardian of that deceased person or the dead individual, again, it is permissible.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the, as you rightly mentioned, because the transplantation takes place when there is an ill individual or a patient who needs the transplantation. So if that is the objective, to save the life of a respectful person or the respectful life of an individual who is in need of the transplantation, Ayatollah Khamenei says that it is permissible, provided that the consent or the permission of the dead person should have been obtained before he died, or the consent of his guardian is obtained.
I see. Probably that's because of that we have certain transplantation banks in some certain hospitals where you give your consent while you're still alive and you receive a transplantation card. That
yes.
you can carry on with you, and when something like an accident happens to that individual, then they, for example, enter a coma state, then they can use, for example, some of their organs probably,
yes,
actually,
right.
to be transplanted to another person. Sheikh Javid, thank you very much for your nice answers, and then let's take a short break, and then we'll be back. Don't go away.
لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the Library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Al-Ali al-Azim, Subhanallah.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the Islamic laws related to the medical conditions, according to Ayatollah Khamenei. You know, before the break, I asked you a question about the transplantation of a blood vessel of a dead person. That you said that it's related to the consent of the person, right?
Yes.
There is another question related to that, but it's related to the kidney transplant, all right?
Yes.
Since having a kidney transplant would definitely improve the patient's conditions considerably, of course, there has been an intention to set up a kidney bank.
Yeah.
All right? Or transplantation bank, probably. This is bound to encourage people to donate or sell their kidneys willingly out of their consent.
Yeah.
Is it permissible, Sheikh Javed, to donate or sell one's body part by choice? All right?
Yes.
Or consent. Whether it's a kidney or any other organ. And what is the ruling in emergency conditions?
Well, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, there is no objection to a living mukallaf, a living duty-bound person,
mm-hmm.
donating or selling his organs in order that the sick may use of them or make use of those organs, provided that he will not be considered, provided that such a thing does not lead to considerable or substantial harm. And it does not actually lead to some kind of significant damage to his body or to his health. And indeed, of course, this becomes obligatory when it becomes the only way to save a respectful life. When there is a life, respectful life, and saving that depends on, let's say, on giving a kidney, then it becomes, you know, obligatory, you know. But it is necessary to understand that it should not lead to a kind of unbearable situation, and it should not lead to substantial or significant damage to his health. And in this condition and in this assumption, if there is no substantial damage to the individual's health, of course, it is permissible, quite permissible.
Mm-hmm.
And good for the individual to donate or even sell his organs, because his organ belongs to him and he can sell it if he wants to. And there are people out there who, of course, sell their organs, maybe because of some reasons, including a need for money or need for to support their life, family, of course, financially, they do it.
I see. Okay, Sheikh Javed, let me ask you a short question. Someone says, I have expressed my wish to donate my organs after my death. I was told that I should make a will in this regard and inform any heirs. Have I the right to do so? Do I have the right to do so?
Well, there is no harm in making use of a dead person's organs for transplantation in the bodies of other people who are in need in order to save their lives and, of course, to treat their illnesses. And it is absolutely permissible. And, of course, there is no objection to writing a will or to leaving a will directing the individuals or stating clearly that one of his organs may be used to save another person's life. So, of course, we do see in our day-to-day life there are people who leave a will stating mm-hmm. clearly
yes.
And directing his heirs to transplant or to sell one of his organs in the event that he, for example, makes an accident and he is dead. So one of his organs can be removed and it can be transplanted to another person
yes.
who is in need of it, or it can be sold to another person. So there's no objection and there's no harm in making use of a dead person's, of course, organs for transplantation, provided that it should be with the permission of the mukallaf, the duty-bound person, or his heirs.
Uh-huh. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rabi. Thank you very much for listening to our program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وحيد قدير محيط.